Good morning. It's a joy to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for choosing to be here. Those worshiping online, wherever you are, thanks for worshiping with us. It's a great day. Happy Mother's Day has been said already. We're grateful to be in this room for this moment, online for this moment, to worship Christ. I want to ask you to consider this, I think, experience that everybody's dealt with at some point. I remember when I showed up as a freshman in college. There was one other kid from my high school and I that went there, and it just, you know, stepping in, like, what are the rules? What do we do here? It's like really different than high school. Very different environment. How does this work? And I remember showing up here first day. You know, it's just another church, but it's a different environment. It's a different culture, a different deal, right? Like, how do I process this? You've all been there. You go to a new job, you go to a new school, new neighborhood. Things that are so similar, but yet they're different, and you're asking yourself the question, like, how do I do this? Because I want to play by the rules, unless you're, you know, super adventuresome and you just live to break the rules. Most of us want to fit in and, like, figure out how to do this so we don't shame the family, right? And it's such a joy to know that when we look at the text, and uniquely today, when we think about the kingdom of God that we started last week with chapter 4 and the first of four parables, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. He's showing us how to live in this new environment, in this new, like, world of the kingdom of God in the earth, and how that looks and feels. And so with that joy of knowing that we're not left alone to figure it out, I invite you to turn to chapter 4, and let's jump into the next parable of the four. Now understand this, these four parables in chapter 4, we covered first last week, we'll do 2, 3, 4 this week, is they're not disconnected. They're not, you know, just all over the map. There's a purpose to these four, and it's the kingdom and how we live in it. Now understand this, Carmel is not the kingdom. A church is not the kingdom of God. Churches exist in and under the banner of the kingdom of God, and there's an already not yet feel to it, where Christ initiated the kingdom of God and it'll be consummated at his second coming, and we're living in it now. And so he's showing us, last week, showed us with the parable of the soils, like, all, you know, what our heart needs to look like to receive God's word and to, you know, bear fruit in it. Now, a lot of, there's speculation about exactly where Jesus gave these parables, but there's good thought that it's there on the screen. This is, if you're looking south to north, that's the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee, and to your right there is Capernaum, and there's this little cove, and it's called the Sower's Cove, because there's good thought that this is where Jesus gave this portion of the text, and this is actually from 1943. It's actually a group of Muslims. It was a Muslim gathering on the beach there, but if you'll notice, there's just this natural amphitheater effect. It slopes up, and it's got these rims on both sides, so you could totally see how somebody could, on the water especially, project out, and thousands could actually hear what was being said. And so I just want you to, like, feel that, like, let's be there, imagine Jesus teaching about hearing what he's trying to communicate. We'll jump into verse 21. He says to them this, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we learned last week that this whole notion of hearing was not just like sound waves hitting your eardrum, but it was a hearing to heed. Like, I hear you to do, I hear you to obey. And he's gonna say this repeatedly throughout chapter 4 today, over and over. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we're talking about lamps. How many of you plug in a lamp at home, right? You know, and how many of you love candles? I do. I mean, I love some candles and I love some lamps, but I never plug a candle in, right? I plug a lamp in, but that's how we roll. That's our world. So what would they have? They would have this clay pot filled with oil, and that's what would light their home. And so, you know, if a candle's here, it illuminates that much of the room, and you get it higher, it illuminates a little more, and if you can get it really high, it's just amazing. Most of you have been here on a Christmas Eve when you know, we go dark and then that first candle is lit. We start to sing Silent Night, and it's just amazing. But it really takes one, right? It's amazing how much little light it takes to illuminate a huge dark room. And so they would put them on stands like this one. This is in a museum in Ephesus, Turkey. So that lamp I just showed you, one like it, they just sat on a stand. You know, they probably came in different heights, but that's how they rolled. And so they said, you know, you don't, it'd be like if you bought a lamp, if you went today to Target and bought a lamp, like, go to Target, buy a lamp for Mother's Day today, and then throw a blanket over it. There'd be a lot of questions about Daddy, right? Like, what's going on? Why, you don't buy a lamp to put a blanket over it. You buy a lamp to light the room. So there's this kind of an incredulous nature to the moment where he's saying, light has a purpose. But who is the light in the text? Is it us? Is it Jesus? Is it both? This is what the text says in the scripture in the New Testament of Christ. It says in John 12, he is a light to the world. John 1, he's the light of men. John 1, he's the true light. John 8, he's the light of the world. This text roughly translates from the Greek to the English as, here comes the lamp. Here comes lamp. So the last lamp I bought, it didn't come into the house, right? That works in Beauty and the Beast, right? But lamps I've bought, I don't know about you, they don't walk in. We carry them in a box and you build it and you put it in your house. So lamps are inanimate, right? Here comes lamp. A lamp is brought. Christ is the light of the world. Think about Isaiah's prophecy when he says, those people living in a land of darkness have seen a great light. Because in the linear timeline of human history, when Christ came in the incarnation, it was dark and then light. But he also said, and some of you are probably thinking this, he also said in Matthew 5 this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the light of Christ came for a reason. And I'm going to apologize right now for my three main takeaway points because they're going to sound a little cheesy, but it's just what came out of me this week. So the first one is the kingdom we live in, the kingdom has a glow. The kingdom has a glow about it. There is a light that turned on in the kingdom, and his name is Jesus, and he shines that light today through you. So that we don't just sit around and sing about candles and lights and go light your world and all that and then just defer to other people to do it. We live our life in Christ in such a way with such a winsome graciousness and mercy and love that there is a light shining through you and that people see Christ in you. The glow of the kingdom in which we live has a purpose. Remember, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea. Both have the same source. One lives, one's dead. What's the difference? So I'll draw it for you visually. Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, sorry. Sea of Galilee, Jordan River flows out again into the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee, fish. Oh, it's awesome. Dead Sea, no fish. It's dead. The only thing you get out of there are minerals they make billions of dollars of cosmetics with. What's the difference? There's no outlet to the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee has water in and water out, so it's fresh, it's living, it's teeming with fish. Down, nowhere to go. It's dead. And that's a visual picture of our lives, and to take the metaphor back to the light. As we like live in this kingdom of light, Christ in us by his Holy Spirit illuminating, when we just like shut off the flashlight there, we're missing everything that we were intended to be about, to shine light into the darkness around us. So just be encouraged right out of the gate. The kingdom we live in, it glows. But it has something else about it. Look at verse 26. He says then in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the kingdom, this kingdom we live in, it glows, but it's also, just bear with me, it's a slow grow. Glows, there's light, but it's a slow grow. Now most of us who are here, we live in the land of the microwave, and that's not a terribly encouraging thing I just said to you. To be patient and to live in a land of a slow grow, because we like it, ding, we like it now, because it's a lot faster in the microwave than it is in the crock pot, right? We're instant people. We want everything fast, 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 faster, faster, faster. I have internet that, you know, my ancestors would have marveled at, but it's too slow and I'm griping about it. I need faster internet, right? Because that's just our world in which we live. It's that the kingdom in which we live is about a slow grow. And he shows in the text how little control we have over it. Like somebody that throws seed on the ground, and like, is it gonna go anywhere? Is it gonna do anything? When I first moved into our home here, I kept expanding our natural area because, you know, my knees were hurting so much. I thought, well, it'll be less to mow. You know, I'm trying to minimize my green so that there's less of that. And over the last few months, I've wanted to expand that back. And so I had to grow some new grass in my front yard. It didn't look so hot for a while. It was brown, and I threw the seed down. And there's this mystery. There's this secret of seed on the top of the earth. You can't tell what's happening. But underneath, there are these, you know, roots and this germination. And then out of nowhere, there's this poof. And so for several days, I know my neighbors, they probably think I'm nuts anyway because of things I do out there. But there were a lot of mornings I went out I would look like that, because you can't see looking down, but I'd look like that, and I was like, I remember the first day, and I was like, oh, it's green, it's gonna work, like it wasn't, like I knew it would. I don't know, Erica, if you ever saw me doing my face, and I hope not, but there was this, wow, and it looks so good today, but it took a while. It wasn't fast, and it's so frustrating to us. But when you remind yourself of a situation that you're, is there something that you've prayed for years? It's just not happened for that child or that spouse or that situation at work or another family dynamic. I mean, there are people in the room, I'm sure, that have prayed over things for decades. And to say that you're weary is an understatement. But I want to encourage you on this day to not grow weary in doing well, because there is a kingdom that you live in who has a king who is building this thing slowly for 2,000 years. And what we see as a long time in his eyes is really not that long. But as creatures, we get highly frustrated, and we have to defer to the Creator to say, help me to see this through your eyes and in your context. Verse 28, where it says, the earth produces by itself. The word there for by itself is automotos, basically. It's where we get automatic. Like this thing just happens automatically, like seed when it hits the ground, it's gonna like, boom, there's a blade, there's an ear, there's a full grain, you know? That's the valley, that's the Elah Valley, E-L-A-H Valley. That valley is where David took down Goliath. Before that wheat grew in this season, whenever that was taken, that was a brown field. And when they sowed the seed in that field, you know, it's like, oh man, let it rain, Lord. Like every farmer has done through the history of, you know, time, he's like, let it rain, you know, please bring, and then bam, that valley is this luscious green awesomeness. But if you're one of the 12 and you're hearing this and you're thinking, this is how it's gonna roll, this is how it's gonna work, Like the kingdom? Like if I'm like permission to speak, Jesus, is there like a plan B to this? Because we don't want to do slow. See, we've lived in our land with all of our religious liberty and our freedom. We've not had, you know, like a Rome over us. They did. And they hated them because they were brutal. And so the thought of like this slow kingdom that's going to grow, it's like, that's not kingly, Jesus. If you want to be a king, like give us a, you know, like a sword so we can overthrow this and move forward. Which you have to think is Jesus as God in the flesh thinking, oh, guys, if you could see this the way I see this, you wouldn't think that. And so if you're, you know, got a bunch of type A personalities of guys who want to like, just like, let's just do this. And he's like, hey, I know it's dark out there, boys, but here's the game plan. Here's a flashlight and a bag of seed. Go get them, tiger. Right? They're gonna be like, what? And that's why we hear them in the scriptures constantly. What does he mean by this? But we have the value of perspective. We can look back and go, come on, guys, you're so hard-headed. But we would have been doing the same thing. Like a flashlight and a bag of seed, we're going to grow this mighty kingdom. We need weapons. And Christ is showing them in this parable that you're in a slow-grow kingdom. Just you be faithful today. You do your part in this generation. And just let me bring the growth and be amazed at it. So the kingdom glows and it's a slow grow. But what about verse 30 in this next parable? He says, what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of seeds. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So it's like another seed. It's like a flashlight and a bag of seeds, and now you're going to give us a seed that's like the tiniest of seeds. Can you see the seed in this man's hand? They're just minute. I mean, that's a seed. That is a tiny seed. And it's interesting that Christ could have compared the kingdom like to like the mighty redwoods or the majestic mountains. It would become that, but he chose the very opposite. This tiny, tiny mustard seed that grows into a big shrub or a small tree where life can live and breathe and find shelter. And so there's this collision of, hey guys, it's going to be slow, but yet there's going to be it's a blow up grow, which sounds contradictory, but listen to what I'm trying to say. We live in a kingdom of light, it glows, it's a slow grow kingdom, but yet at the end of the day, there is this blow up grow to it in that these very unimpressive fellows, if you had set them down and said, hey guys, let me just tell you, in time, there will be like billions of people who believe in me like you do. And it will be the largest faith on the planet in time. They probably would have been like, whatever, I know him. Like us, really? Like we want to do this and we want to do it right now, but we were kind of like thinking that Israel would be pretty cool. Like if we could just like restore the glory to Israel, we're cool, Jesus. And as you've heard me say many times, Jesus could have said to them, guys, listen, think bigger. I did not come to rule a nation the size of New Jersey. There's going to be this country, fellas, later called the United States. There's going to be a little state in the northeast corner called New Jersey. And that's, I didn't come for New Jersey. I came for the earth. I came for every language and tribe and people group, every ethnos. He's saying, be patient. Just do your part. Be faithful in this day and understand there's a journey that we're on. But this thing is going to explode. From this little mustard seed is going to be this explosion of life. I read this illustration this week, and it's so fascinating. Anybody that's artistic will appreciate this. Think of it this way. Every song that was just sung, every symphony that's played in a massive cathedral or Carnegie Hall type, every pop song, every worship song, every song has been created from a basic 12 notes. Seven notes with all their sharps and flats thrown in together. And from that very small collection of notes, we have thousands and thousands of songs written in the history of mankind. I asked my son one day, who's a musician in Nashville trying to make it there, and I said, Zach, how's it possible that you can take, like, hasn't every song been written? Like, I get new lyrics. You can write new lyrics every day. Not that they're good, but you can write new lyrics. But you got 12 notes. Have you ever thought about this? Every harmony, every melody, like, it would make sense that it's exhaustible. But it's obviously not, because there are thousands, probably millions of songs and melodies and rhythms that have been created. In the same way, from 26 letters in the English alphabet, every novel, every poem, every piece of literature has been written from this core of 26 letters. I had a friend tell me after the first service, he said he heard a comedian say once, hey, who wrote that alphabet song? Because that guy wrote everything. I was like, yeah, exactly. And so Jesus is saying, from this tiniest of seed for them in first century Israel, which you can barely see, comes this tree that brings life to everyone around it. So friend, who's weary, who's tired, trust in the mystery and the secret of God's word working in your life and the Holy Spirit working in your life. As the water falls from heaven and brings forth fruit and vegetation, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall your word be, O Lord. And as Zechariah says in his prophecy, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When you consider how the Lord is working in your life and you can't see and you're like, man, I've been praying over that forever. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up, friend. Please, I urge you, I plead with you that God's at work. Even when we can't see, and when we understand the parable of the mustard seed, we recognize there's a sovereignty to God, there's a providence to God, that he is working and moving in ways that we can't fully understand because we're creatures. But we know by faith that we live in a kingdom that glows and it's a slow grow. And in time, there is a blow up grow to it that is massive. Today is the birthday of the Southern Baptist Convention. Do you know that? May 8th, 1845. Little band of believers started the Southern Baptist Convention. The largest convention or collection of Protestants in the United States today. 14 million of us. So it gets back to that whole principle of not despising the small beginnings and just celebrating where you are, God's faithfulness, God's presence with you, and praying for endurance along the way. William Carey is considered the father of modern mission in the earth. And he labored in India for 7 years before he saw his first convert. So let's say from 2015 to now, we're going to have first person accept Jesus Christ here today, 7 years. He was there for 40 years. Took 7 years to see one little stalk of grain grow. And this is what William Carey said at the end of his life. Now, a lot of people would have said, man, you wasted your time. He wasted your life. William Carey said, the future is as bright as the promise of God. That's not optimism, although I love optimism. That is a spirit-infused faith that says, God sent me to this land, and I know it's been slow, but I think amazing things are going to come from it. Mr. Judson is considered the father of a Baptist missions. Similar story. 7 years in Burma before he saw one conversion. He buried two wives there and a number of children. And on one hand, in his honesty, like you would hear in the Psalms, where on one, you know, there's just anguish and lament and anger and sadness and then worship and praise, he said these two things. It was said of him that he felt like a failure at the end. But he also said this. I love this. After bearing two wives, number of kids, and taking 7 years to see one person come to Christ, he says, in spite of sorrow, loss, and pain, our course be onward still. Listen to this. We sow on Burma's barren plain, but we reap on Zion's hill. Who says that after burying a lot of your family and seeing so little fruit? The optimist? The cheerful one who looks at the best of things and the half glass full guy? No. Somebody who knows that God called him to do that. There's no other explanation. There's no human reason for that. But you know what happened in India later today? In India, there are 71 million followers of Christ. Now, it's only 6% of the population because they have 1 billion people there. But 71 million believers in Christ, because this man didn't quit at year 6 and go home. Think about that. What if he quit on year 6 and this is not worth it? I feel called to Hawaii now. I'm going to go somewhere else, right? He didn't, though. What happened in Burma, thanks to Mr. Judson? There are 4.5 million believers in Christ there, 9% of the population. Isn't that amazing? Think about the possibilities of what happens when we don't quit, when we stay in the game, when we stay focused, and in our honesty, say to the Lord, I don't understand this. I'm frustrated today. I'm tired today. I'm mad today. But I'm not going to go anywhere because you told me to do this, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep marching forward, because that tiny seed that you spoke of becomes something massive in comparison to it. So mama, your life is so important. Your life matters. I know some of you have prayed for years for certain things and you haven't seen like a breakthrough. Breakthroughs could happen after you're gone. They might happen now. We can't control the seed growth. We don't know what's happening, but what we can control is that we are obedient and that we hear and we listen and we obey. Your life counts. This is why I often say, and you've heard me say, that we raise the generation coming behind us who are going to step into a time and a place that we won't. So just to fathom your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids loving Jesus and serving Christ some place or some time. It's just, you know, our grandson's here this week, and, you know, there's just something remarkable about grandkids. Everybody say amen that's got white hair, right? Because it's your baby had a baby, and you would have died for your baby. You'd have given your life to protect your baby when they were little, and now all of a sudden your baby's got a baby. What would you lay your life down for that baby's baby? In a skinny minute. Because there's something in you to do that, that God put there for that. Mama, grandmama, on Mother's Day, don't grow weary. Your life has so much value and so much purpose. And God's using you in ways that you don't know all the time. Mostly in what you don't know all the time. Because he's good. And he's faithful and he's true. And here's something to really rest in. God loves that girl of yours more than you do. Not like twice as much, because that's the wrong spectrum. God loves your son, your girl, infinitely more than you do, perfectly, flawlessly, as only God could. So when you feel tired and you're wondering, are they listening? Is anything happening? Just remind yourself of the tenacious love of God for them. And this section, this passage, this chapter ends with, in verse 33, when he says, with many such parables, he spoke to them as they were able to hear it. So if you were counting, there were 10 times he said, akouo, a hear, a hearing that heeds. 10 times in the short chapter, he just says, hey, listen, you got ears? Listen to what I'm saying and walk in it. Walk in that path. And be encouraged in the land of the microwave that God is working in his own time. You know that 40-year prayer thing that you've labored over? And I'm not making little of it because I've got certain things in my own life like that. What is 40 years in the eyes of the Lord? We think, oh, he forgot. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. We begin to say things privately that we would be embarrassed to say to each other. He knows. And he cares, and he loves, and there's a mystery to the kingdom of God that we don't fully understand, the timing of things that we don't fully understand, but the one who sits on the throne is good and true and faithful, and that's our hope. So, Father, as we open our altars today, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, encourage those in this room as citizens of the kingdom to rest in you, to trust in you, that we would understand that you've given us a light to share in us and that we would give it away. You've given us that flashlight and you've given us that bag of seed that grows slow. So give us patience, give us vision, give us wisdom to understand and to see that, but also give us the understanding of what a mustard seed does when it grows and explodes, that it's awesome to behold. So like a cool breeze on a hot day or a cup of cold water on a hot day, would you refresh the weary soul in this room who are citizens of a kingdom that maybe they saw for the first time is a slow grow, but explosive too. Would you take time to own that prayer? Just pray that as the Holy Spirit would lead you for a moment.